May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Listen now for the word of God from the book of Acts. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today is from John in chapter 20. It tells the story of Easter morning. I invite you to listen for the word of God. Early on that first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she'd said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Happy Easter. Alleluia. It is so good to be gathered together to celebrate. And it's always a joy to come around to this Sunday as a celebration of resurrection. I love celebrating Easter. I remember the excitement of being a child waiting for Easter morning. I grew up in a family that always went to a sunrise worship service, and I remember getting up early in the morning, and because I lived in Nebraska, I'd always put on my Easter dress and then a heavy coat over the top of it to go out and gather outside the church on this special morning. Here at Westwood, I love that we get to gather together in such a beautiful sanctuary with fresh flowers and you good people in your beautiful selves today, with musicians, with brass ensemble and timpani and grand pipe organ to celebrate the joy of Easter. It's a gift to have our children who sing the joy of resurrection and participate in this proclamation of joy. On this Easter Sunday, we proclaim joy. We sing Alleluia as a reminder to ourselves again and again that our story as the people of God is a story of life overcoming death, of a joy that comes out of deepest sorrow. It's a reminder that there are no dead ends in God's story, but there is always a hope that beckons us onward, a joy that draws us forward, a life that comes still, that persists and invites us to participate in the flourishing of life, not just for us as individuals, but for all of us together, for all life on our fragile, beautiful planet. We come together on Easter to claim this joy, but it's a joy that's belonged in our story from the beginning. It's not so different from the joy that was tucked into creation at the very beginning of everything, when our God called the world into being and declared its goodness. When God created humankind in God's own image and declared that it was very good. Our Christian story tells a story of incarnation. At Christmas, we celebrate Christ's birth. And God being enfleshed in human form reminds us that our lives matter, that this world matters, that our bodies matter, and so do the bodies of our neighbors and strangers and even our enemies. Our Christian story continues the tale, this beautiful, life-giving story of God. We remember just last Sunday as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, triumphantly riding in as the king on the back of a donkey, cluing us in that there's something different about the way God's power works in our world. It doesn't ride on a war horse, but on a donkey. And everyone's invited to the parade to take leaves off the trees to lay in the path, to escort in the salvation coming into the world through our God. And during Holy Week, our story reminds us again and again of the kind of love that we're talking about, which is different from the expectations of our world. We remember how love in human form, in Jesus Christ, our Savior, knelt at the feet of his friends and washed their feet. We're celebrating a God who takes on the work of a caregiver, tending to the feet, the bodies, the lives of the people he journeyed on this earth with. We remember the Last Supper as Jesus gathered around a Passover table with his disciples, how he broke bread and shared it and invited those present there to participate in the life-giving work he was about. The love of God was unafraid of betrayal and arrest and even death. And our Christian story tells the story of God in Jesus Christ, who was arrested and killed by the powers that be, crucified by the state in a coming together of the powers of religion and politics that saw fear, not possibility, that felt threatened by a leader who exemplified self-giving love, who spoke up for justice, who walked in a different way. But death on the cross was not the final answer for Jesus. We gather together this Easter morning to sing Alleluia, because our story is the story of life overcoming death, that refuses to believe that ending was the end. Instead, Christ overcomes death and invites us to be a part of a different way, of a different world, to claim a joy that's here now, that's present with us in this place, in a way that changes everything. Now, to get ready to celebrate Easter, a lot of people have been involved in making this day happen. Our children have been practicing their song, volunteers have been helping tidy up the space. We had folks who volunteered to make food for our Easter tea, and the choir has been rehearsing. This morning, they're singing a beautiful variety of music, from contemporary pieces all the way through one written in the 16th century. I'm not singing in the choir this morning, except I will during the Hallelujah chorus. I'm told that they have, you should know how good they are, because they're singing some tricky music. Particularly, the piece written in the 16th century uses time signatures that are unconventional in most contemporary music. And by contemporary, I mean like since the 17th century. When the time signature is different in a piece of music, you have to count differently and participate differently. The time signature, of course, gives the ground on which everything stands as you go. It's the count that keeps you moving as you're drawn through the piece, the conductor helping along the way. Several years ago, a friend who's a very skilled musician taught me about wonderful musical concept called rhythmic displacement. She showed me by watching a YouTube video that featured Harry Connick Jr. leading a group of folks in singing as he played the piano. Now, as you know, Harry Connick Jr. is a jazz musician. He was playing these captivating melodies, singing along, and the audience wanted to participate, and so they started clapping. And it's exciting as they start clapping, right? Except that this particular audience started clapping on beats 1 and 3, which is like better than not clapping, but it's not what it could be. If you clap on the 1 and the 3, you're in the downbeat, not the offbeat. And on the 1 and the 3, it pushes the jazz song toward a stability that lacks the dynamic fullness of what could be a wilder, more life-giving rhythm if you were clapping on the 2 and the 4. But what's a musician to do if the whole crowd is clapping on the wrong beats? Well, very adeptly, in an interlude between 2 of the verses, Harry Connick Jr. adds a 5th beat into one of the measures, right? So people are clapping along on 1 and 3, and then they hit 5, which means in the next measure they end up on 2, right? So adding in a 5, without anyone knowing what was happening, pushed them from the 1 and the 3 to the 2 and the 4. Which, if you've clapped along with music, you know is a far superior place to be clapping along, particularly if the song is jazz. Without even knowing it, the people got moved from the downbeat to the offbeat. I sort of think that's a little bit what happens on Easter morning, because Mary and the disciples didn't even really understand what was happening as they went to the tomb looking for the one who they loved and had lost. And when they got there and encountered the empty tomb, they didn't even yet understand what had happened. So didn't understand, didn't know to expect or to want for the thing that had happened, that Mary, as she's face to face with Jesus, is not able to recognize him and mistakes him for the gardener. I should say, I love that Mary mistakes Jesus for the gardener, because I think that's how Jesus is always showing up in our world, in the lives and bodies of people that we sort of have ignored on the periphery of our scene, in the lives of people we least expect to be the ones who are the presence of the living God. It shouldn't surprise us that Jesus, who knelt down and washed the feet of his disciples, who was comfortable taking on the role of servant and caregiver, that Jesus shows up in a form that looks like a gardener. God is always showing up in our world, and especially in places we don't expect it. And on this Easter Sunday, we come to church hungry for a message of salvation, and it comes to us sometimes even while we're not looking or where we don't know to look, and it shifts us. It shifts our world from the downbeat we'd been stuck on to an offbeat without us recognizing what was happening. And Mary Magdalene, as she came to the tomb that morning, expecting to be there to grieve and respect for the one she had loved and lost in this life, encounters something entirely different. She encounters the risen Christ, who calls her by name and invites her to preach the gospel. I should say, I also love that Mary Magdalene is the one who's there at the tomb long enough to talk to Jesus and to be asked by Jesus to be the first preacher of the gospel. Right? Y'all notice that. That if there wouldn't have been a woman there at the tomb, that there wouldn't have been anyone to tell the story, because the beloved disciple and Simon Peter, when they saw the empty tomb, they believed that the tomb was empty and went home. But Mary stayed at the tomb and talked to the risen Christ and was sent by him to go and tell the others. Now, Mary Magdalene, we have done her a number of disservices in the legacy and history of the Christian church. In centuries after her life, the church decided to assign her a profession that would devalue her in the eyes of others. There's no scriptural evidence that describes what Mary Magdalene did for a living, only suggests that she had the capacity to be one who followed Christ and supported his ministry while he was alive on earth. Mary Magdalene, called Magdalene, we assume because she must have been from a place called Magdala, but it's possible that she was called Mary Magdalene because Magdalene means of the tower. And like Peter was known as a rock on which the church was built, Mary was a tower that showed the church the way to resurrection community. It's possible that Mary Magdalene is in our story as one example of a courageous person who was gifted and called by the power of Christ to stand as a tower to hold up and to show the way forward for the church. As a lady pastor, I take great comfort in knowing that Mary Magdalene was there at the beginning, sent by Jesus on that Easter morning to proclaim the work of the gospel. I hope that you hear in Mary's story an invitation that allows you to believe that you are the sort of person who can preach the gospel with your life, And especially if you're a person who has been told explicitly or implicitly, overtly or covertly, that you're not the sort of person who ought to be in leadership or in this position or drawing the church forward, I hope you hear a message that comes deep into you that gives you the confidence to know that our God can use you, can use every person, that there is no thing that disqualifies us from being beloved by God and being invited to be the people who proclaim the gospel of our risen Lord with our lives. The world likes to tell us that we're not the right gender or the right age, the right race, or have the right experience, that we're not yet in the right place or haven't learned the right words to be able to proclaim the gospel. But on Easter, without even knowing what she was encountering, Mary Magdalene meets the risen Lord and becomes the one to proclaim the good news of Easter. The good news of Easter, of course, is not just about telling a story using words. It's about living a hope with the whole of our lives. It's about being people who live the promise of resurrection by tending to the bodies of our neighbors and strangers and even our enemies. It's about proclaiming the gospel by standing up in solidarity with one another when we've been pushed to the edges and pushed down. It's about daring to hold open space so that voices that have been excluded from the conversation can have a place to stand and speak and be heard, that we might benefit from the whole of our community, not just some. You may have noticed that there is work left to do in our world. As we continue to face the challenges of this day, to live with a world that persists in systemic evil, that wrestles with the very present reality of racism and sexism, that continues to perpetuate judgments that disempower people based on their gender identity or their sexual orientation. As we face the challenges of a world awash in gun violence, in a changing climate that threatens the ability of life to flourish on our planet, we have work left to do. Easter resurrection changes everything, but you may have noticed that it hasn't fixed all the messes, right? There's still work left to be done in the struggle for justice. There's still places that need our tender care. There is a world still in need of our work for justice. But Easter does shift everything. And like the difference of clapping on the 1 and the 3 to clapping on the 2 and the 4, we get to be people who live a joy-filled hope, knowing that it's powerful. Knowing that the powers of death are not even more powerful than the life we're invited to share. That the joy we access this morning is more real than the despair we've been living in. And so we gather this morning to sing and to shout Alleluia, because we're people who claim that power, who know and move to a different rhythm that gives us confidence that our God is with us, that we are beloved, that we're called to believe in and work for a world that displays the goodness of love, that strives toward the fullness of justice, that speaks of flourishing of life for all. The beautiful flowers and the music, they remind us of how good and beautiful and sweet it can be when we harmonize together, when we set ourselves on that rhythm, which is the love of God. Whether or not you know that you're looking for it, I pray that this day you feel yourself shifted from the world as it had seemed to the world as it is, when animated by the love of our God, a love that overcomes even death. This Easter, I say to you again and again, Alleluia. May it be so. Amen.
Hallelujah.